First man to walk on the moon on July the 20th, 1969, before many of you were even born. But one of the images that particularly caught people's imagination was a glimpse of Earth as we'd never seen it before. A blue planet spinning in space, but not empty space. Instead, an amazing expanse of galaxies and stars, pictures of which were now being beamed back into our sitting rooms, albeit in my own family's case, onto a tiny black and white screen, which of course didn't really help. Some of the pictures were a little bit fuzzy. And of course, technology has moved on significantly since then, enabling us to see even further, in even more close detail than ever before. And I don't know about you, but I find when I see these images and try and get a sense of perspective on the distances that are involved, that I feel really, really, really small indeed. And the psalmist King David had a proper sense of humility when he said this, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him?" Who are we indeed that God should notice us at all? But according to Paul's reading in Romans, something even more awesome is possible. For Paul tells us that if we belong to Christ, we have the Spirit of God living within us. Borrowing some words from an old song by Graham Kendrick, "The God who flung stars into space is living within us. This God who's infinitesimally bigger, greater, more glorious than anything we can imagine, he's living within us. It's absolutely awesome. But it's also really hard to get our head round." And maybe that was why Paul repeated the phrase several times over in the reading that we've just heard, just so that the truth can sink in. He says, "You're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you." And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. I think Paul's got a bit excited about this, don't you? But he was writing from the heart. He knew what it was like to live a life that was controlled by sin. And we sometimes hear news stories about Christian churches being attacked and their pastors imprisoned and even killed for their faith. And this was the kind of thing that Paul was doing. And Simon touched on this last week. Paul was a zealot. He was determined to destroy the Christian church, and he'd colluded with the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. And he dragged any and every Christian he could find into prison, so that in our case, it would be like if we left the church, he'd be there ready to pounce and drag us away and lock us up, maybe for years, maybe worse. In the original text which tells Paul's story, the words that are used to describe him are the words that are used to describe the ravages of a wild animal. Paul was a bit like a marauding wolf until he encountered Jesus. And he was on the road to Damascus when a light flashed round him, and he actually heard Jesus speaking to him. And Jesus told him to go into Damascus and wait for further instruction. And when Paul got up from the ground, he was blind. He couldn't see anything at all. And for 3 days, he remained in this condition. And maybe God did that to him to kind of remind him that he'd once been blind to the truth of who Jesus was. And at the end of those 3 days, Jesus sent a man called Ananias to go and pray for Paul and lay hands on him. And Ananias was a bit reluctant to do this because he knew Paul's reputation. Paul was a wolf. He didn't want to go anywhere near Paul, let alone lay hands on him and pray for him. He knew just how dangerous Paul was, but thankfully he obeyed Jesus. Then Ananias went into the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Paul, he said, "Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from Paul's eyes. He could see again, and he got up, and he was baptized. And from that day, Paul was an absolutely new man. He'd been made right with God. And as he later wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, "The old life has gone, the new has come." And I just loved the songs that we sang this morning and the words of them. "You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Your truth has set me free. You've set your hope in me." And that was what happened to Paul. Jesus took all his sin and shame. Paul was a sinner through and through, but Jesus set him free and gave Paul hope and a future. And Paul now put all the energy into building up the church that he'd once used to try and destroy it. But of course, it's not the same energy. He's now full of Holy Spirit energy, Holy Spirit power living in him, and everything was different. It was as if Paul could see again, both physically and spiritually. And I remember when I first became a Christian that for a couple of days afterwards, the world somehow seemed to be brighter and it looked a bit more colourful. The only analogy I can think of, especially for me wearing glasses, is I regularly forget to clean them. And I think, oh gosh, it's a really grey day. And then I clean my glasses and suddenly I can see and I think, oh, it's not quite so bad after all. And I've often heard of people saying that when they discover how beautiful Jesus is for the first time, it's a bit like they can see clearly through their glasses. Well, Paul's dirty glasses had been cleaned, but he knew, well, he didn't know then, but he discovered that they'd get dirty again. Because this is one of the reasons we need the Holy Spirit living within us to help us to live the life that Jesus desired. And Paul discovered that the Holy Spirit is essential for everything. It's not just essential at that first moment when we come to know who Jesus is and fall in love with him. Paul's many sins had been forgiven when he received new life. But as we know from his letters, he still struggled with sin just as we do. His glasses got dirty again. But the Holy Spirit gave Paul the assurance that God had forgiven him and that God would forgive him again and again and again, which is such good news for us. But as Paul said to the Romans, this isn't an excuse for us to keep on sinning, because the more we love Jesus, the more we come to realize how much our sin actually hurts him. And we then both want and need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to resist temptation and to make choices that are for good and not for evil. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living within you, Paul said. And Simon shared with me a true story about a couple who went to work as missionaries in Israel. And they were absolutely delighted when a dove came and lived in the eaves of their house. And for them, it was a bit like a sign from God saying, "You're living in the right place. You're doing the right job. You're pleasing me." But one day, the husband noticed a rather worrying pattern of behavior. Whenever there was a lot of noise or any raised voices in the house, the dove would be disturbed and would fly off. And when he mentioned it to his wife, she had noticed exactly the same thing. And they both realized they needed to be really careful not to disturb the dove, or it might fly away and never come back. And if we use this story as a picture of the Holy Spirit, what aspects of your life and your behavior might be causing the dove distress? What might cause that dove to fly away if he was living in your house? What needs to change in you? Paul discovered that following Jesus meant living in relationship with him because of the Holy Spirit living within him. And Paul's religion had actually been a real barrier to faith. And Jesus knew a religious man, and he'd once visited him, a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a bit like Paul. He'd studied hard, he knew the law from back to front, but he didn't understand the life that Jesus was offering. And this is what Jesus said to him: no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. And at first, Nicodemus was absolutely baffled by Jesus' words. He just didn't understand what Jesus was saying, how his life needed to change. And it wasn't about knowing the law. It was just simply about accepting Christ. But we know that he eventually chose to follow Jesus, because at the end of the Gospels, after Jesus had been crucified, Nicodemus was one of the men who went to ask Pilate for his body. It took real bravery for Nicodemus to do that, because he was publicly nailing his colours to the mast as one of Jesus' disciples. The Holy Spirit had given Nicodemus boldness, and the Holy Spirit gives us boldness as well. Maybe some of you know about Jesus, just as Paul and Nicodemus knew about the law. But you still don't know what it actually means to have him living within you. Or maybe you used to know him, but you've kind of just lost sight of your first love. You've drifted away, and you need a fresh injection of the Holy Spirit's power in your life. God longs for us to have the Holy Spirit in all its fullness, because he knows how much it will help us and bless us. My particular weakness, confession time, is trying to do things my own way and in my own strength. And yesterday we had a meeting of the prayer ministry team, and we spent time listening to God for each other and just asking God for pictures and words to help us to continue and grow with him and be blessed by him. And I found I had a picture and a verse for myself. And the verse was from Matthew 11:29. It's the really cozy, nice one about, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will give you rest. And I thought, oh, that's really nice. And then I got a picture of myself in a ploughed field, really straining under this sort of wooden yoke. And Jesus was kind of standing on the side of the field with his arms folded, looking at me with a kind of, well, you know, Fiona, what are you doing? Look on his face. And it was just as if he was saying to me, it wouldn't be so much of a struggle if you let me help you. And that spoke to me so much. I just thought, yes, so much of my life I try and do in my own strength. I don't just receive the help that God wants to give me. And I just wondered, by sharing that, if that was true for some of you today. We so need the Holy Spirit to help us. And finally, the presence of the Spirit is a sign that we belong to Christ. Those who do not have the Spirit of God living in them do not belong to him at all. These are quite punchy words from Paul, but they're entirely consistent with what Jesus taught his disciples. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. For Jesus, God's Holy Spirit within us, God's presence within us, Father, Son, and Spirit, is totally intertwined with our love and obedience to him. We can't have one without the other. And to borrow the picture that I used before, just as sin scares the dove away, love and obedience will keep him close and give us the confidence that we belong. I don't know if you picked up on Jesus' use of the word orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It struck me as a strange word to use for a group of grown men. To me, it conjures up a picture of a threadbare Dickensian waif starving and freezing on the streets in a novel or in a film. But then it hit me. Jesus had introduced his disciples to his Abba, to his daddy. And they'd come to know him as their Abba and their daddy. And now Jesus was telling them he was going to go away. He was going to leave them. What would they do? They would be doubly bereft. But Jesus promises them that he and his Abba daddy will come and make their home with him. God, who flung stars into space, will come and make their home in him. It's such an awesome promise, because without God, actually, we're all orphans. We're all orphans if we don't have God living in us. He knows all about us. He was there at the moment of our birth, and he'll be there at the moment of our death. He's got such wonderful hopes and plans and vision for our lives. So many things that he wants us to discover and share with him. But we won't if we don't invite him to be part of our lives. And he loves us so much. And when we taste his love, nothing else really satisfies. That's why if we wander away from God, there's always that sort of nagging, something's not quite right within us. But God never forces us to invite him. He only comes when we ask. And he comes through Jesus' promise. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. As the song said, you're all I need. It's your face I seek. And we forget that so quickly. But when we're in harmony with God, when we know his presence in our lives, it makes such a difference. So I want to invite you to stand. If you're able to stand, please stand, but do remain seated if not. And I'm just going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and we'll just see what he does, because he wants to bless us. God wants to come to each one of us this morning and just bless us. So do please stand. And I'll just pray, and then we'll just be silent and ask God to come. Father, you love everybody here. You've got such an enormous heart, and we're all stacked up inside it. And you know what each of us needs. You know whether we need to know you for the first time. You know whether we just need to come back to you because we've just drifted away without realizing it. You know whether we just need your forgiveness for the things that we've done, the things that have hurt the dove. Lord, you know exactly what we need. And so, Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come. Come and bless each one of us. Speak the words that we need to hear in our lives. Fill us with the knowledge that you are God within us. And Lord, that's my special prayer for those people here who've never actually consciously felt anything when they've asked God to be part of their lives. Lord, I pray that they may feel you.